Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence, all of you who are with us in person and those of you who are joining us online. Just a couple of announcements this morning. Don't forget that the men's group is meeting tomorrow night in the fellowship hall. Next Saturday is the Bluegill Bash in memory of Gary Hedrick. Hunter is not here. He's actually in Florida fishing with Neil's son. But you can just show up and buy tickets next Saturday. Next Sunday is a big Sunday as we honor our graduates. We have four folks graduating from high school, two from college, and I don't think he'll be here next week, but Caroline's fiance, Cameron Barn, is graduating with his master's. And so congratulations on your graduation, Cameron. Also, we're starting to get more baskets in for the scholarship silent auction, if you want to take a look at those. But remember that that will happen on June 23rd. And since we're already looking ahead to summer, June 30th, the last Sunday in June, is going to be Camp Sunday, right where we sing all those fun Sunday school songs, and the fellowship committee is hosting their 4th of July cookout that day. So hopefully you'll be able to come. One note about the service, the Great Thanksgiving is going to be different than it usually is because it has been written especially for Trinity Sunday, which today is. So you'll see the pattern of three over and over in the Great Thanksgiving. All right, we've got a few birthdays this week. Joe Davis, Judy Black, Johnny Turner, Jordan Kepley, and Nathan Baker. And remembering their baptism, Abby Hearn, Logan Turner, Joe Davis, and Jennifer Davis. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And we have one prayer shawl this morning. This is for Kelly Carrick's friend, Sedley Abercrombie, and she's got a lot of health challenges right now, and so we're going to bless this for her. God, we thank you that you always hear us when we come to you in prayer. And we pray especially for Sedley this morning as she goes through so many health challenges. Give her comfort, give her hope, give her peace, and bless this prayer shawl that when she feels the weight of it upon her lap or her shoulders, that she would feel the weight of our love and care for her here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. In Jesus' name, amen. Kim has just told me that the Conrad reunion will be June 9th after worship. And so if any of y'all are Conrads, and I know some of you are, put that on your calendar as well. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Thank you. Please stand as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the God of manna, the God of miracles, the God of mercy. Amen. Drawn to Christ and seeking God's abundance, let us confess our sin. God, our provider, help us. It is hard to believe that there is enough to share. We question your ways when they differ from the ways of the world in which we live. We turn to our own understanding rather than trusting in you. We take offense at your teachings and your ways. Turn us again to you. Where else can we turn? Share with us the words of eternal life and feed us for life in the world. Amen. Beloved people of God, in Jesus, the manna from heaven, you are fed and nourished. By Jesus, the worker of miracles, there is always more than enough. Through Jesus, the bread of life, you are shown God's mercy. You are forgiven and loved into abundant life. Amen. The love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Thank you. be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty Creator and ever-living God, we worship your glory, eternal three in one, and we praise your power, majestic one in three. Keep us steadfast in this faith, defend us in all adversity, and bring us at last into your presence, where you live in endless joy and love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Good morning, Conrad. Good morning, Brantley. Good morning, Nora. Good morning, Sawyer. You gonna sit on this side? Well, as you might have noticed, and I'm actually wearing the wrong stole today because it's not ordinary time quite yet. I know, right? But that's okay, because I want to talk about how we're getting ready to enter summer. I know school isn't out quite yet, but Memorial Day weekend is kind of the unofficial beginning of summer. And this summer, we're going to have a prayer wall on the bulletin board at the end of the ramp. And this is for anybody to participate in, but you'll notice that there's a bucket with several colors of fabric in strips. And each color means something, and you can take a strip in the color you want to pray and tie it on there, and that represents one of your prayers. So for example, I'm going to pray this week for Conrad to have courage as he takes his EOGs. So I might tie an orange fabric on the board. I am praying for our brother John for healing, so I might put a blue fabric on the board for John. Over here, we've got some other colors. Friday was Isabel's birthday. She's a teenager now, and so I put a yellow fabric on the board to thank God for Isabel's birth. I put a white fabric over there to pray for peace in the world, because there's a lot happening in the world that's really sad right now. And so whatever your prayer is, you can grab one of these pieces of fabric. This is going to be hanging on the wall, so you know what each color means. But it's just something for our eyes to see that prayer doesn't always have to be with words. Prayer can be with words, but we can sing our prayers. Maybe our prayers are silent. When we sing, we just sang the Kyrie. That whole song is a prayer. We're asking God to have mercy in our relationships, in our work, and our play. Sometimes, I bet you when Judy plays the piano silently, she's praying with her fingers, and the notes come out of the piano. Maybe when Trevor cries, maybe that's Trevor's prayer, even though it doesn't have words. Maybe those cries are his prayer. Maybe sometimes when we laugh, laughter can be a prayer. And so hopefully this summer, as our prayer wall grows and grows, we'll think about how we can pray in all kinds of different ways, but we pray for each other and sometimes for ourselves and for the world. So maybe when Jane takes you to Children's Church, you can all pick a piece of fabric and pray on your way to Children's Church. How would that be? That'd be good? Okay, let's pray. Good morning, God. Thank you that you always hear our prayers. Be with us this summer and in the next few weeks until school ends. We love you, God. Amen. Thank you for coming up. You can take those to the prayer wall. And Jane has Children's Church today.
The New Testament lesson is from Romans 8. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption, When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
This is a little bit longer of a passage, so I invite you to go ahead and be seated while we read from John. The Holy Gospel according to John, the third chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born again after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, if we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our triune God. Amen. So believe it or not, this is our fourth Holy Trinity Sunday together. This is the fourth time I've gotten to preach on this day with you. And although I didn't look back to check, I'm pretty sure that each and every one of those Sundays, I have told you how much I love to study and talk about the Trinity. Right? It's one of my favorite things to think about. And you may remember that for my theology degree, Trinitarian theology was one of my concentrations of study. One of the reasons that I love studying it is because it helps us more fully understand who God is which then helps us understand more deeply and be more aware of how the triune God is active in our lives and the world. The Trinity is one of the most important and one of the most complex ideas in Christianity. Let's face it, it's hard to talk about God, but once a year on Holy Trinity Sunday, we try yet again to wrap our minds around how God can be one in three and three in one at the very same time. One of the questions that I've heard a lot over the years is, how can we really know anything about the Trinity when the Trinity isn't mentioned or talked about in Scripture? How can we really know anything about the Trinity when the Trinity isn't mentioned or talked about in Scripture? That's a really good question. First of all, let's look at the word Trinity itself. The word Trinity comes from two words put together. The first part, tri, which means three. The second part, from unity, which means one. So in the very name itself, three and one come together. And it's true, the word Trinity doesn't appear in the Bible, and there isn't a place in the New Testament where Jesus or Paul or someone else offers us a thought through doctrine on the Trinity, although wouldn't that be nice? The church could have saved all these 2,000 years of thinking about it with that, but there isn't a place in Scripture that mentions the Trinity or talks about it as far as a doctrine. But the reality of God, the first person of the Trinity, Christ, and the Spirit exists throughout the New Testament. And this lesson from John 3 today is a great example of that. In his conversation with Nicodemus, Jesus references all three persons of the Trinity. And we know that there are other places in the Gospels where when Jesus, talking about God, talks about that first person of the Trinity as being both distinct from him and being one with him. And the same is true of the Spirit, right? Jesus talks about being one with the Spirit, and also that the Spirit is a presence that is distinct from Jesus. So there are many places in the New Testament where the persons of the Trinity and how they are at work in the world and how they are in relationship with one another are talked about. But here's what I want you to know, and that is that our doctrine of the Trinity, our understanding of the Trinity, emerges from the early church's lived experience with Jesus and the Spirit. What they had previously known about God had to grow and had to change as they encountered Jesus and the Spirit. Because when they had experiences with Jesus, they knew that they had encountered God. And when they had experiences with the Holy Spirit, they knew that they had encountered God. And so they had to think about and figure out how to talk about that and how to explain it. Right, before God became human in Christ, and before Christ sent the Spirit, the people's understanding of God was limited to God, the first person of the Trinity. But as we've talked about all Eastertide, Christ's life, death, resurrection, and ascension changes everything. So as the earliest Christians reflected on their experience with all three persons of the Trinity, God, Christ, and the Spirit, and as they reflected on Scripture, their understanding and the doctrine of the Trinity began to take shape. And they looked at passages like this in John 3, where Jesus references all people in the Trinity. They look at Genesis 1, where God says, "Let us make humankind in our image." And so with this new knowledge they had, they reflected on Scripture a little bit differently. And over the years and the decades, and now centuries, the church has grown deeper and deeper in its understanding of the triune God, that God is one. And within that one God, there are three persons who are co-equal, who are distinct, who are co-eternal, and so on and so on. Now, if you're sitting there and you're thinking, golly, this is confusing and this is complicated, I just don't get it, you're in really good company. Because in today's gospel lesson, Nicodemus felt the same way. We know that Nicodemus was a religious leader. We know that he would have been very, very educated in the Hebrew Bible, in Jewish scholarship and life. And Nicodemus was so intrigued by Jesus that he went to meet with him, to learn more, to have a conversation, to ask questions. And when Jesus responded, Nicodemus still didn't get it. You see, he was trying to fit all of these new ideas about God into an old understanding of who God was. Nicodemus was kind of an expert on God. If someone needed to talk about God on a news channel or for a news program, they'd go to him because he was kind of the expert on God. Jesus even called him in this passage the teacher of Israel. And yet even he struggled to grasp these new and different ways of understanding who God is. It was hard for him to make sense of. But here's what I love about Nicodemus. His experiences with Jesus challenged his faith. His experiences with Jesus challenged his beliefs. His experiences with Jesus challenged his understanding of God. And instead of shutting down, instead of shying away, instead of digging in his heels into his beliefs and what he thought he knew, he opened his heart and mind. He asked questions. He reflected on his experiences with Jesus. He reflected on Scripture. Even when he was challenged, even when he didn't get it, Nicodemus never stopped learning. He didn't become apathetic. He didn't become stagnant. He let his knowledge about God grow wider and deeper. And he let his faith evolve. And how do we know this? Well, out in public and in the daylight where anyone and everyone could see him, he assisted Joseph of Arimathea in preparing Jesus' body for burial. Nicodemus was a work in progress, just like all of us. And he reminds me of this quote by Martin Luther. "This life, therefore, is not righteousness, but growth in righteousness. Not health, but healing. Not being, but becoming. Not rest, but exercise. We are not yet what we shall be, but we are growing toward it. The process is not yet finished, but it is going on. This is not the end, but it is the road. All does not gleam in glory, but all is being purified." The process is not yet finished, but is going on. This is not the end, but the road. Sisters and brothers, I know that there are a lot of things about God that is hard to understand, including the Trinity. And it's not just hard to understand, it's even harder to sometimes explain it. But may we, like Nicodemus, no matter our age, no matter how much we think we know, may we never, ever stop asking questions. May we never stop learning. May we never stop reflecting on our experiences with the triune God and Scripture. And until we breathe our last, may our knowledge of God grow deeper and wider. And may our faith never stop evolving. Amen.
Living together in hope and trust, let us confess our faith.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten not made, one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation,
Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We come before the triune God to pray for our communities, ourselves, and our world. God, who mothers and fathers us, you have brought us into your family, claiming us as beloved children. Bless your family of faith with gifts of cooperation and graciousness. Increase our hospitality towards all expressions of faith and teach us to honor our shared humanity. Merciful God, receive our prayer. Your love and power burst forth in flashes of lightning, the dance of the wind, and the deeply rooted trees of the forest. Sustain fragile and interconnected ecosystems that they flourish for generations to come. Merciful God, receive our prayer. Give your blessing of peace to the nations. Shelter all who risk life and livelihood to protect others from violence, conflict, and injustice. On this Memorial Day weekend, we remember those who have lost their lives in war and conflict. Merciful God, receive our prayer. You are a God of love and not condemnation. Quiet the hearts of all who struggle with shame, regret, or questions of self-worth. Teach us to forgive ourselves and one another. Restore holiness to all who seek hope and healing, especially Bill, Paul and Carolina, Bobby and Gianna, Scott, Jim, Mike and Joanna, Myra, Debbie, John, our friends and family listed into the bulletin, or those we name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Merciful God, receive our prayer. Strengthen bonds between parents, children, and families of all varieties. We pray especially for adoptive and foster parents, families, multi-generational households, and blended families. Grant gifts of nurture and patience to all caregivers. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
The Spirit bears grateful witness to all children of God who have now come into the inheritance among the saints. As they lived with hope in your gift of eternal life, so strengthen us in faith that we recognize your eternal presence even in this mortal life. Merciful God,
receive our prayers, O God, and come quickly to our aid. Through the power of the Spirit and the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to move around a little bit and share the peace of Christ with one another.
Thank you.
Let us pray together.
Jesus, bread of life,
you have set this table with your very self, and you called us to the feast of plenty. Gather what has been sown among us, and strengthen us in this meal. Make us to be what you receive here, your body for the life of the world. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Holy God, Holy One, Holy Three, before all that is, you were God. Outside of all we know, you are God. After all is finished, you will be God. Archangels, sound the trumpets. Angels, teach us their song. Saints, pull us into your presence. And this is our song. Holy God, Holy One, Holy Three, you beyond the galaxies, you under the oceans, you inside the leaves, you pouring down rain, you opening the flowers, you feeding the insects, you giving us your image, you carrying us through the waters, you holding us in the night. Your smile on Sarah and Abraham, your hand with Moses and Miriam, your words through Deborah and Isaiah. You lived as Jesus among us, healing, teaching, dying, rising, inviting us all to your feast. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Holy God, we remember your Son, his life with the humble, his death among the wretched, his resurrection for us all. Your wisdom, our guide, your justice, our strength, your grace, our path to rebirth. And so we cry mercy. And so we cry glory. And so we cry blessing. Holy God, we beg for your Spirit. Enliven this bread. Awaken this body. Pour us out for each other. Transfigure our minds. Ignite your church. Nourish the life of the earth. Make us, while many, united. Make us, though broken, whole. Make us, despite death, alive. And so we cry, "Come, Holy Spirit."
Come, Holy Spirit.
And so the church shouts, "Come, Holy Spirit."
Come, Holy Spirit.
And so the earth pleads, "Come, Holy Spirit."
Come.
You, Holy God, Holy Three, Holy One, our life, our mercy, our might, our table, our food, our server, our rainbow, our ark, our dove, our sovereign, our water, our wine, our light, our treasure, our tree, our way, our truth, our life. You, Holy God, Holy One, Holy Three, praise now, praise tomorrow, praise forever. And so we cry, Amen, Amen.
Amen.
Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Christ has set the table with more than enough for all. Come.
Thank you. Please stand for the table blessing.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray together.
Jesus, bread of life, we have received from your table more than we could ever ask.
Nourish us in his name.
Now strengthen us in the love of the world with your life.
In your name we pray. Amen.
Sing of God, who provides for us, feeds us, and journeys with us, be upon you now and forever. Amen.
Say our mission statement together. As united people of God,
under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education
and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Go in peace, your body of Christ. Thanks be to God.